realization of truth is always associated endlessly with intense suffering.
The next day, Tuesday, 3.5 days after the Lord.
We all know what suffering means in the simple worldly sense. Pain of body, illness of body, pain and illness of mind. But when we have got past that, and have grown into a state of balance within ourselves, there emerges another suffering of a totally different nature. If there isn't this suffering present, we delude ourselves that we are understanding reality, that we are grasping the truth. Let us look a little bit at what happens when one truly is realizing truth. In the ordinary way, we start with certain ideas, certain conceptions. These ideas and conceptions in our minds do correspond to objective reality outside in the world. For example, we talk about the laws of nature. We all know the word gravitation, for instance, and gravity. We know that because of the laws of gravity, such and such phenomena will take place. And so we say that these laws are true. And we consider that truth. That is truth in its particular context of material phenomena and events and so forth. Where the life of the psyche is concerned, our soul life and our spiritual growth, truth is not quite like that.
To Richard Gordon, still orbiting above, Intrepid was now.
As I say, we start with conceptions and ideas about the mind, about ourselves, about the spirit, about our destiny, about ultimate realities, and so on. Start with ideas. And associated with those intellectual forms, thought forms, shall we say, are also ideas and beliefs regarding how we should live, the ethical aspect, the disciplinary aspect, the aspect which purifies the self, and the aspect which, as we say, develops the self, the powers of the self. Broadly, we lump all that under meditation. Now, after going through that, we begin to see that this has no vital relationship with oneself realizing truth. One of the most important aspects of oneself realizing truth is that one completely outgrows all these ideas and conceptions.
It also showed that man, a quarter of a million miles from Earth,
if he who has outgrown them afterwards communicates with others who are influenced in their lives by his communication, he is remembered as a teacher. All the great teachers, the founders of the religions, and it's convenient to talk in terms of the founders of the religions because they are only about 8 or 10 people, and so it's a convenient number to handle. All of them outgrew their heritage, completely outgrew it. But we must note, this was an outgrowing, not an arbitrary casting aside. Remember the words, I come not to destroy, but to fulfill. The man in the world thinks of fulfillment as confirming the beliefs that he already holds. The man in the world thinks of the perfected Holy One as somebody who will actually demonstrate just what he thought himself. Therefore, he is obviously right, he's the leader, he's the one to be obeyed and followed. This is not the case. When he who has truly outgrown presents a reality, the perfect response to the urgency and the challenge of his own age and situation, the statement contradicts, verbally contradicts, so many of the most cherished beliefs, conceptions, ideas, and ways of life of the people. It is truly new, because unless there is that creative renewal within the teacher himself, he cannot release into the life stream around him all that the new life wave, the life urge, is trying to bring forth. Now this is painful. It is extremely painful. So painful that there is opposition. The one solitary exception that we know historically for certain, where opposition did not lead to violence against his person, was the case of the Buddha. Krishna, Zarathustra, Jesus, they all met violent deaths.
Charles Peter Conrad left the spacecraft to start exploration. He was the third.
Very interesting point to bear in mind. Now, I come to not to destroy, but to fulfill, are the words of the teacher. And this fulfillment necessitates, as that teacher himself said, take up thy cross and follow me. He didn't say, take thy pension book and draw thy weekly money and live comfortably in a welfare state. The spiritual welfare is at the cost of any and every other type of welfare.
Pete Conrad's first job was
now, I'm well aware
rock sample.
that what emerges in our group meetings, for one or another person, may prove upsetting, perhaps even shattering, painful. And anyone's pain that way is a matter of great concern, deep concern to me. We all know how, throughout our life, we strive in order to make a pleasant, comfortable nest for ourselves and our family, if there is one.
Now, Alan Bean left Intrepid to join Conrad on the
surface. Now, that experience in material terms is analogously transferred in our imagination to the psyche and the spirit. Make a nest for ourselves so that our feelings and intellects will not be hurt. That we shall have happiness, success, comfort. In the dictionary meanings of these words.
Okay. Yeah, we have a flag up. Like I said, I hope everybody down there is proud of it.
And when I am breathing my last, I commend my soul to God and trust that He will hold me forever in the everlasting arms which are underneath.
It was driven by a nuclear-powered electric generator.
A very pleasant finish. Now you know, this is not the case.
The site 200 yards from the landing craft. Here it would be undamaged by exhaust from the engines when they left the moon.
Even though outwardly it could be the case, the life of the body and the mind in the world as it is could be perfectly calm, happy, and come to a beautiful finish in the worldly sense, in the cultural sense. But if there is to be this intensity of realization of truth, remember, it is not a static thing. It never ceases. The realization goes on and on and on forever and ever, through every single instant of time. And it is associated with the outgrowing process, which involves this tremendous struggle, this tremendous conflict, which means pain. The pain of giving up, of letting go, the pain of not grasping. It is painful not to hold on to what we have achieved or seen or realized. It is painful. See, in the past, we had this distinction between the exoteric and the esoteric. For the masses, just that much for their welfare, their benefit, their happiness. The Buddha himself, for instance, go ye forth and teach the many folk, men and devas, for their happiness. What did he mean by happiness? How did the bhikkhus interpret the word happiness? How did the populace interpret the word happiness? Each in their own way. Teach the Dhamma for their happiness.
Okay, here.
of the Buddha himself,
before they began their geological expedition to the surrounding,
the enlightened one who knew,
they worked around Intrepid, the lunar model.
What sort of happiness was his? What was the meaning of his nirvana, of his shunyata phala samadhi, in which he constantly abided, as he said? The samadhi, which was the fruit, the phala, of the realization of emptiness. Shunyata. Can I live here?
They began the geological survey, during which they would cover about a mile.
Continually? In the fruit of emptiness? Try it and see what happens. There is an interesting interpretation of that verse in Genesis. And Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, for God took him.
Then they arrived at their target.
No man shall see God and live. There are various ways of understanding it. But consider this particular interpretation which the Jews themselves have given. That Enoch had to die because God took him. He could not live. He had to be completely dispersed as an entity, Enoch. We need not take this literally, physically. Atom bombs were not known in that day. But within ourselves, there is a complete and continual tearing apart of everything which is put together. And this is pain. The beliefs, the convictions. The conceptions that this is truth, and this shall live forever and ever as truth.
Roger, we got that, Pete, at 3 hours and 50 minutes into the EVA.
And which formed the basis of our sense of security. That is broken up, and it goes.
It's very disorderly, except for the fact that it's very dirty.
Now, a man may have kind of a brilliantly penetrative intellect.
They left behind them Alcet, man.
That penetrative intellect can see the forms of truth.
Now, would the liftoff engine work?
And it is so much easier for the brilliant intellect to delude himself that, he understands the truth. Because of his brilliant intellect, he can discuss it, he can talk about it, he can always present a formal, verbal structure to show the rightness of his understanding. His intellect has penetrated into the form of truth. But as far as realization of truth is concerned, perhaps it hasn't even begun yet. Because when the realization, the making real begins, the old is dispersed, completely dispersed. That is to say, all your formulations, all the sankhara, they are dispersed. You have to let them go all the time. Which means living in the shunyata phala, samadhi. And this is extremely painful. So much for the brilliant intellect. When the person with faith, that means without belief, faithful, belief empty. The faithful one is the one who is empty of all beliefs and ideas. When the person full of faith feels the truth, then without forms arising. This transformation of his psyche goes on apace. This transformation is not a pleasant process either. It is painful in the manner in which childbearing is painful.
Richard Gordon saw a scorched area on Intrepid.
And the gestation period, well, there is no limit to it. It depends upon the person. And the child that is born, as it comes out in Isaiah, unto us a son is given. It's the Christ. The Christ consciousness is the child. If the Christ consciousness, you can put it in Buddhist terms and say the Buddha nature is to emerge in full flower, then all this must die. Not a once and for all death, but a continuous death. And this is painful. And thereby, that child consciousness, the son of the blessed, the no thing, the indescribable, comes into being. And it can come into being only in man. It cannot descend by itself and incarnate of its own material, so to say. It needs this material, this gross material, in order that that may be born. Because any conception takes place through interaction. An interaction in which there is stress, there is strain, there is pain, and all the rest of it. When it is successful, lo and behold, finally there emerges the perfect fruition. But in its emergence, the old is completely wiped out. Now you see, this is painful. It is painful all along the line with respect to the living being, the manifested living being. That is to say, body-mind. But it is nirvana. It is the bliss of God which passes understanding as far as the spirit is concerned. The spirit is universal, infinite. It is not mine to grasp. Therefore, that nirvana, that bliss, that light of the transcendent will work through the living being. But the living being must continuously burn away for that light to shine.
Men on Earth monitored the output of the seismometer, waiting for impact.
You see why the esoteric groups were such small groups.
The crash registered before scientists on Earth. It was as though someone had struck a single blow on a church bell. The reverberations lasted for 55 minutes.
No.
Mysteries, scientists are still debating. The crew continued their
We have approached this matter,
including the Frau Maurer,
as we have done these last few minutes, in the psycho-spiritual way, so to say. Let us approach it another way.
Then on Friday,
the form in which he who has realized puts out the teaching is fundamentally determined, as far as its language is concerned, by the prevailing knowledge of the nature of things.
Apollo 12, Houston.
In other words, the science and the mathematics and the technology and all the practical skills of the day, of the carpenters and the masons and the whatnots, the cooks and everybody else, the gardeners. No, we must mention the cooks and the gardeners particularly, because they are involved in the organic life process so much. It depends upon the prevailing knowledge of the nature of things, because it is that knowledge which presents the teacher with the material for formulating inward realization. This is his limitation. He can never escape it. Christians say God sent forth his only son, his alone begotten son. They call Jesus the incarnation of God. But once God incarnated, he had to bow before the limitations around him. He couldn't escape them. The form in which he gave teaching was essentially the right form for that period, for that situation, and it has affected the world for centuries afterwards. It was such a tremendous influence, just as the Buddha's teaching has, as the Hindu teaching or any great teaching has. Now,
as it hit the water, it capsized.
As the centuries pass, our knowledge of the nature of things changes. As our knowledge of the nature of things changes, and as the practical application in the world of that knowledge makes a change in the world conditions, and also consequently in human relationships and in behavior between man and man, a new sense of life begins to emerge. This is the new kind of life. It's a common saying. This is the 20th century, and this is what it is like. The 19th century was like that, and the 18th century was like that, and so forth. Now, in this 20th century, especially after the first quarter had run its course, our knowledge of the nature of things has changed so much that what we previously believed as absolutely reliable, unchangeable law, we discover needs modification. We believed in causality, for instance. The whole of Buddhist philosophy is, as they say, based upon strict causality throughout the universe. But now we know that there are realms of nature where strict causality does not hold. It's probability. And if there is probability, there is something like chance at play. There is the element of we cannot know. Certainly we can't know beforehand. It's not predictable. It's unpredictable. And one of the consequences of all that is that our sense of security suffers a jolt. Those of us who are interested in Indian religions and philosophy are attracted by the old teaching of karma. But the form in which karma is presented needs modification now. That form is outgrown. It's not destroyed. It is outgrown. Causality is not destroyed. What we have discovered is that there are realms of nature where causality, as it ordinarily holds in the realm of matter, cannot be applied. You're a physicist. You know the work of Heisenberg and de Broglie and all the others, and how also radiation and matter become interchangeable, how there can be actually by human beings the creation of an electron and a positron simultaneously if a certain type of radiation acts upon atoms and so forth. We know all about that. And we also know that the so-called particles, the intra-atomic particles, are of the most extraordinary nature. We can create them, and the lives of some of these particles, at least of one of them, can be as short as 1,000,000,000,000th of a second. 1 divided by 1 with 15 noughts after it of a second. And as a result of such researches, the question has arisen. We've always took for granted time flows endlessly like that.
In 1963, the Aga Khan spent...
It just flows. There is no break in time. But scientists are now wondering whether, after all, time may not also have an atomistic structure. That we may have approached that limit of time where anything smaller cannot be, and therefore time exists atomistically, which partly relates it to the sort of philosophical concepts that Zeno, the Greek philosopher, produced. Now, if the continuity of time is broken like that, one of our old basic ideas is gone. This does not mean that for all practical purposes in our life, and as far as our minds and consciousnesses are affected, time isn't a continuous thing for all practical purposes. You and I cannot catch hold of 1,000,000,000,000th of a second and see the next one and the next one. It's totally impossible for us. We can't do it. It doesn't affect us. But once we come to know these things, our understanding of the nature of material reality changes. Also, we know enough to know that the materiality of matter is not so material. And therefore, one of the consequences is this. We who believed that the spiritual life was this, the worldly life was that, believed not quite accurately. The two worlds, the barriers between the two worlds are beginning to thin out, and they are disappearing. Merely to make the intellectual statement, simply because by brilliance of intellect you jump to the conclusion, you jump the queue of intellectual process, so to say, and you jump to the conclusion and say, matter and spirit are one. It's only our way of talking. Having said it, how different am I, the person? Have I realized truth in the religious sense?
Has been built in more conventional style.
This is our problem.
More conventional visitor, if the rich can ever be labeled conventional. It's owned by the rank organization, and each of its hundreds has a balcony over
this disappearance of the boundaries the barriers between the two realms, which we comfortably kept apart, really do dissolve, and we are really responding to it and awake to it, then there is pain, there is suffering. Because it quite changes so many actions in our daily life. There is the obvious. There is the obvious hurt to the heart when matters which we thought were matters of deep faith are shaken and our faith is in ruins. We thought this was a world of justice and law and order, and therefore we trusted in it. We felt we derived a strength from inside which made us feel secure despite the outward insecurities and upheavals and distresses that we went through. We said, never mind all this, but underneath it all there is this. I know that for a certainty, and now I discover it is not a certainty. Now these things hurt. We feel, how sad. But look, this transcendent sadness is quite different from our emotional, psychical sadness with which we react when our beliefs are shattered.
They're designed to serve hotel guests who stay in carefully camouflaged villas, each with its own patio, sitting room, and from 4 to 8 bedrooms. There are wide terraces on which guests soak up the sun.
The transcendent pain.
But is the Patrizia Hotel indeed the home of this fantastic development too far removed from everyday value?
Is the indispensable foundation for transcendent bliss?
It's not a playground. No different than you would get in many other parts of the world.
It's a curious thing.
It's a playground as much as it's an exclusive holiday resort. It's certainly not a playground in as much as there's
when the two
going on every night, things like
are truly in harmony with each other,
nice people, and
in our daily life from moment to moment, then there is freedom. This extraordinary thing which we have named spiritual freedom.
Roughly your overall cost?
It is not a question of getting away from the duels,
we're here for 3 weeks.
Suppressing one of the duels, overcoming the duels. It's nothing of the sort.
This one, including the air,
it is the harmonizing.
Around 2,500 to 3,000 pounds.
And when that harmonizing is realized, made real through one's own living being, then the inner meaning of words like God, Brahman, Atma, Nirvana,
the
kingdom of heaven, have all become real.
A compromise between the two.
In preference, I would rather have
the intellect can't see that. Just our sort of feeling nature cannot really feel that. When that realization takes place, intellect and feeling also have achieved their complete harmony.
Without the problems of having staff, cleaning, gotta get up, feeling and worrying about shopping.
The felt thought.
How do you think that the
and the clearly defined and formulated feeling operate as a whole. One harmonious whole.
Basically, the casuals, we can go into lunch dressed as I am now, if I want to. But
these are very deep things.
I brought with me three suits, dinner jacket.
And you will find that in those moments, when somehow or other, suddenly it comes upon you. You will not know pain, pleasure, joy, sorrow, this transcendent suffering and this transcendent bliss in their unity. You will not know them separate. In other words, what we commonly call knowing will be completely out of the picture. You will be in the state which, for which I have used the term awareness being. Knowing in the ordinary way always implies a separation. I, the knowing subject, that the known object or person. There is always this separation of the subject and the object. We completely transcend that separation. We transcend it by having the separation in complete harmony. This is the point. It is not as if we sort of got out of this world into another, which is of a totally different nature. No. It is this world become totally different nature because of our realization. In the world, then, in the truest sense, and not of the world in the truest sense. But you know, there is suffering, there is pain with it. Because this state in the world cannot be permanently maintained in time, throughout time. Just as when we are hungry, we may be wonderfully happy eating a delicious meal to assuage our hunger. But we can't go on permanently eating a delicious meal to assuage a permanent hunger. We'd burst. This is what? Now, let us look at the present, here and now. The belief in a spiritual ultimate has come down through the ages. And we have postulated an infinite, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being, power, something or somebody who was the apotheosis of all that we recognize as good and beautiful and true and all this, all the nice things, the pleasurable things. And we have attributed to that being or to that power the creation of the entire universe and so forth and so forth. And then we have come up against this problem of evil. If this wonderful, perfect being is indeed creator or preserver and all the rest of it, how is it that evil is there? How could a perfect being be so imperfect? How could an all-powerful, all-capable being be so incapable, so stupid? Where was his omniscience in producing a world in which obviously there is evil? There is the ill state. This is a fact of experience which cannot be denied. So you see, there is a cloud in our otherwise clear sunshine. We start questioning. Then we build up these wonderful cocoons of philosophy, logical philosophies, to explain away the whole situation. But the living fact is that tears come out of my eyes, that there is a pain in my tummy or wherever it is, that there is the laceration of the heart. Who amongst us does not know laceration of the heart? No. We all know it, only too intensely.
This costs one person £104.
So there is this problem.
The low season, that's before July and after mid-September.
And when we look at the material world, what we commonly call the material world as such, today we find that really God can take a rest, because we can do lots of things, you know. If we can create new elements in the laboratory, if we can annihilate a bit of matter and send it back to its original home of pure energy, are we so very different from God? Or this mysterious power? We have postulated that God and His creation are absolutely governed by law, moral law, the law that is good, the law that is right. Is that so? Is there no deviation from it? How is it that cause and effect begins to break down in certain spheres?
But the tourist trade came to Tynwyd long years ago.
How is it
the
probability, chance, seems to have a part in universal process?
No doubt they're comforted by the knowledge that Tynwyd's
so that
have been rated among the best in the country when it comes to safety.
When mankind falls into dreadful action through war, for instance, so much obvious, unjust horror overtakes man. A bomb falls and destroys so many people. Were they all predestined to undergo that and just that because of sins of the past, as India would like to say? Jesus flatly denied that. He said this man was born blind, not because of the sins of the past, of his past, but in order that the glory of God may be manifest. His blindness was cured. And if there is such a
much a part of the local scene as the islands she passes on her regular trips, maybe what appeals most to the visitor,
unfailingly accurate shopkeeper computer type of adjustment in the universe. What place is there for grace? Because that too is part of our living experience. What place is there for newness? What place is there for an ending of ill? Because if this mechanical action reaction were going to take place eternally, the first action which set up the reactions would just go on, the machine would just go round and round eternally, non stop, forever and ever. The very fact that if you or I have suffered and have understood that suffering and transformed it so that transcendent love permeates us, then that force has been completely stopped forever, and succeeding generations are spared it. If my parents had been stupid in certain respects with my upbringing, and I have seen it, my children are freed of those stupidities.
Around half the accommodation in Wales is provided by permanently sited caravans. Critics claim this situation has been allowed to get out of hand, despite efforts by local authorities to keep some kind of control over development.
So now, we have to try and see things in a way which is true to our age. And this is attended with pain. Very briefly, let me just recapitulate some of the things we have considered during past meetings. If we look at the total process this way, we might be more in line with today. There is energy matter. We'll hyphenate the words. There is energy matter which becomes this material world, this objective world, as we call it. And in the process,
what will it cost you as a group?
We find the emergence of what we call the chemical atoms, their combinations, the emergence of life, of mind, consciousness, and man on this planet. This living creature has come out of blind energy matter. In ancient days, India suggested that Prakriti or Akasha, besides Brahman and Atma, could be the origin of the material world. Because they too face these problems. If Brahman is, or God is, the supreme perfect creator, how on earth does all this happen? So they said, no, perhaps there is this thing, Prakriti, primordial nature, and it throws up all this. But they were not too certain. In fact, they couldn't be. They hadn't modern science to tell them so deeply and accurately the nature of matter. This is where we are different today. This is where we are outgrowing the past. So they attributed the same sort of moral governance, the reign of law over matter. Now, of course, today too, we see the reign of law over matter as a whole. But there is that inner realm inside the atom where the laws which apply on the macrocosmic scale, which are, after all, these laws are statistical averages, you see, they don't quite apply. So we have to have a new vision of this. So this blind energy matter is not concerned with justice. It is not concerned with purposive action. You and I indulge in purposive action, and our purposes are determined by that which will give us satisfaction, pleasure, fulfillment, as we understand it. But the universal process is not like that. A galaxy will explode. Has it done anything wrong? Has it done anything right? The question of right and wrong, good and evil, just doesn't enter into it. It exploded. It hasn't hurt the universe. It hasn't killed the universe. It has not pleased the universe. It has not mended the universe. It is just a galactic explosion.
efforts are being made by some people.
But if you and I are members of that galaxy,
this attempt to
then there's
was just to
a little discomfort.
Also along the nearby Gaia coastline, where the new sport of surfing is trying to gain a foothold.
Now we have to see this fact. We have to see it. You see, we demand, we expect justice, love, friendship, and all the rest of the desirable things. We demand all that for us, for ourselves. You see, how small our outlooks. Like an underdone steak. How underdone we are in our vision and in our minds and in our spirit. How underdone. We cannot see this. And we don't want to see it. Oh, this is rather painful. Yes. What's on the wireless? Let's turn off to something pleasant. Oh yes, there's a lovely Beethoven quartet. Let's turn that off. And so we refuse to face truth. We refuse the pain. And yet, we in Europe and America belong to that tradition which the teacher, the founder of which said, take up your cross. Now, we have to recognize these things. And this comfortable cocoon which we made of a universe of law and order and justice, and ultimately it will be all right. That's all nonsensical, that approach. Ultimately it will be all right. There is law, there is order. There is also lawlessness, there is also disorder. But you know, that ultimate doesn't concern us here. If our conduct here is to be determined by these beliefs which we have, then we are always caught in the net of evil.
The runner-up in the cine competition we've been running with the Radio Times. The second prize.
This is very important. And we don't get out of this net of evil because we just hide inside it.
Here's just a brief sequence.
And the proof of it is our spiritual complacency, our intellectual and emotional complacency inside ourselves with respect to truth. We deceive ourselves, we deceive others that, oh, we are interested in religion, in God, in truth, in transcendence, and all the rest of the wonderful things. But we are not. If we were, we would be continuously on the cross. So now, this has thrown up man. Now, man, because of his capacity to look inwards and experience the most remarkable changes of consciousness inside himself, creates this psycho-spiritual world of his. God is not the big fellow outside. God is the infinitely tiny point inside your own brain. Outside, and you and I talk of inside and outside because we are absolutely held in by the limitation of space-time consciousness, which we can't escape. Outside, there is energy matter, this blind, lawless, unknowing thing. We are the midpoint. But this is what should fill us with joy and awe and wonder. That it is because of us. Matter, this blind energy matter culminating in producing this living thing. It is because of us that Brahmanatma, God, the transcendent, can find expression.
More about the places that we've looked at this evening. Next Sunday we're off to Scandinavia.
God can't do anything if there were no man. Now you see why God just sits in his heaven and does nothing about changing affairs. I am the maker of the affairs. And insofar as I realize God, the way in which I will change affairs will no longer be the way of the prince of this world.
On BBC One now, Ivanhoe.
Of the way of the divine.
The hostage. Rebecca has
Isn't
taken
it a very
wounded
different thing?
On a journey to York. De Bracy has become enamored of Rowena and implemented a plan that will put her...
If you look into this very carefully, if you're a... If you've given your allegiance to God or Brahman or Atma or whatever word you like, you see, the ultimate power or the absolute reality, or take any word you like, if you've given your allegiance to that, and if this makes you feel that, good gracious, you've taken away God from me, you've taken away heaven, immortality and everything from me, absolutely shattered my world. Have I? Do you think I would shatter your world? Do you think I could shatter your world? Listen again. Listen carefully. Energy matter was all powerful in bringing this into being, this living person who is speaking. Having brought him into being, energy matter stops there, as far as this mysterious inner life of mind consciousness is concerned. When this person so lives that there emerges the realization of transcendent reality, truth, we are talking now in the religious context, when nirvana, the kingdom of heaven, Brahman, Atma, God, is manifest unhindered through him, then what has happened is that it is that very God who has completely transformed the mind consciousness part. I can't do anything about it. I couldn't do anything about energy matter producing me. You see? This is what I realize. I cannot do anything. I do not know anything. Whatsoever I know is known only in terms of separation. I, the knowing subject, and different from, separate from the known object. That means in terms of non-unity. You see? But now, because this, because the living being is willing to take up the cross and go through the transformative process, which can be gone through only whilst the living organism is there, there is the release of this wonderful thing, God. Energy matter, I don't know, after all. God, I don't know. I am ignorant. I see that. I know that. You know what I mean. Not as a knowing subject, knowing a separate known object. But it is reality. It is the whole thing. I do not know. I cannot do. It happens through this. Then this core of selfness, which was the blockage, vanishes. Energy matter produced all these living organisms, which act as cause, function as cause of selfness, and hence conflict, darkness, confusion, pain, sorrow, evil, and all the rest of it. There is no evil anywhere else. There is neither any good according to our dictionary meanings anywhere else. I create this. I am responsible for it. And I alone can be responsible for the freedom from it all.
What a prize for the temple.
So now look. Energy, matter, I don't know. God, I don't know. Each is infinite. Infinite. Boundless.
And you say, the keeper of the keeper.
Unrestricted. As formulated by me in so many words, it sounds as if they are separate. But try and feel it out. This you must really meditate upon. Spend the fortnight really going for this. Just let the mind get quiet and let it just gradually seep into your being, and you will find that there is no separation. There is only the one total reality. And don't look for characteristics of it, pleasant or unpleasant. Just let be. Just as I have often and often enough said, live by letting live. In the same way, just let God and the world be. Then you, the individual, on the cross, with the intensity of suffering and the intensity of nirvana in complete harmony with each other, are the center through which the process, the purposes of the new life wave will find expression. You will then really be the children of the new dawn. But there are tremendous implications in all this. One can't go into that in an hour or 2 hours. Work them out. They'll come through. They'll come through, each one of you, in your own way. Because each one is absolutely unique, marvelous, wonderful, beautiful, infinitely capable, infinitely strong. But don't try to measure infinity. So the pain and the sadness of ideas and beliefs and convictions being shattered, one must get free of that. And also the fool's paradise of feeling that, now I know the truth and this is all well and nice. That also we must be free of. Then there is calm. See, we started off the calm mind. The calm mind is not placid in a kind of a flat glass surface sense. It's not that. There is wonderful movement in it, wonderful rhythm. Tremendous power, tremendous energy. of universal dimensions, that calm is. The sea of life, the ocean of life. Then we won't be afraid of it. We'll just... It will take us along.
Are you afraid? Can I not prove it enough to 100? Well, what's
amiss? Then something of the real meaning of happiness will emerge. And all these petty little strivings, following this discipline, following that teacher, standing on your head, jumping on your toes, and all the rest of the claptrap, all that will be over. They're all useful. Just as fried eggs and chips have to be taken at the right time, or whatever you take. Here in these groups, we have some opportunity of this transcendent reality thrilling through us.